Let's look at God's word for today as we take note of Genesis chapter 41, verses numbers 39 and 40, verses numbers 39 and 40 from that passage which was read in your hearings by Christopher Mobley. Let's focus on verses numbers 39 and 40 from the New International Version of the Bible. The scripture was read by our team, and now let's focus on the sermonic text. Genesis chapter 41, verses numbers 39 and 40. All right. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You should be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." And now verses 39 and 40. "You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." That'll suffice. That'll suffice. The word that the Lord would have us to share with you just now is, "He's working it out." Turn to somebody and say to him, "Be encouraged." And turn to somebody else and say, "He's working it out. He's working it out." The will of God is inexplicable and indefinable. We as mere mortals, human beings, creatures of the dust, do not know or understand the absolute will of God. We're in agreement when it comes to the primary will of God. The primary will of God for us is Christ, to know Christ Jesus, to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to live in obedience to his word and follow him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Simply put, the primary will of God is Christ in me. Paul, writing to the church at Galatia in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." The primary will of God is for our complete surrender to Jesus Christ. However, understanding the will of God, in which he manifests himself to us, is not always easy to grasp. It is not always easy to understand the ways and the works of God in and through the Holy Spirit. Our elders used to say, God moves in mysterious ways with wonders to perform. God himself says in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Finite beings cannot explain or define the infinite, eternal sovereign of this universe. On planet level, there are just too many challenges and changes and conflicts and controversies, seemingly contradictional circumstances, which makes it very difficult for us to understand the ways and the works of the will of God. And because we do not understand God's ways and God's wills as human beings, we find ourselves inclined to sometimes ask God why. Because we do not understand the adversarial circumstances in which we have to face from time to time. And so we find ourselves dealing with what I call the elusive, inevitable, eternal why. Because there's not a satisfactory answer to why, we will ask, and all of us, I'm sure, at some point has raised this question, why has this happened to me? I tried to be a good person. I tried to live in obedience to the word of God. I strive at my very best to be holy. Why has this happened to me? And it's not easy to answer the question why of these difficult situations in which we sometimes find ourselves. We believe, as reasonable persons as possibly we can be, that if there were a reasonable, logical explanation for some of the painful experiences we have, we probably would be able to understand it. But life is heart-wrenching, mind-baffling, will-testing. Good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. And so when we find ourselves raising the question why, it is not an intent to insult the intelligence of God. It is not by any means an affront to the sovereignty of God. We know that God is God. And God is God all by himself. We know that he's both sovereign and supreme. But we find ourselves like Joseph and Job and Jesus even in sometimes asking God why. Well, I ask God to show us something in regards to our inability to really understand the absolute will of God as he manifests his ways and his works in our lives. And God took me to this passage here, the story of Joseph. Let's ask Joseph. Joseph, you know something about pain and problems. You know something about trials and tribulations and troubles. Talk to us, Joseph. And Joseph says to us, whenever you find yourself facing a difficult situation, if you are a believer, Joseph says, God is working it out. Joseph says, when you find yourself, the cookie is crumbling and the pieces are falling apart, he says, God is working it out. Joseph testifies from his experiences. He says, when it looks as if there is no way out, no way through, and no way up, while you are trying to figure it out, you must come to trust and believe that God is working it out. Talk to Joseph. Joseph, look at Joseph if you don't mind. Joseph was thrown into the bottom of a pit. He was sold into slavery. He was tempted by Potiphar's wife. He was locked up in jail. He was forsaken and forgotten by the butler whose dream he interpreted. For 13 years, Job had to deal with hurt, pain, disappointment, and rejection. For 13 years, there was pondering in his heart, wondering in his mind, second-guessing decisions he had made. For 13 years, Joseph was trying to figure out what was happening to him. And all the time, he did not realize that God was working it out. Glory, hallelujah. My beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what Joseph is going to try to share with us today, that when you find yourself at an impasse in life, keep your faith. When you find yourself not so sure what's forthcoming because of what has already been and where you are right now, Joseph wants to say to us, don't lose your praise. Don't lose your hope. Don't give up on the journey. Hold fast. Talk to us, Joseph. Tell us a little bit more about it, Joseph. Joseph says, when you're at one of those points in your life, one of those difficult points in your life, when you feel lonely and empty and afraid, going through something and you don't feel encouraged to even share with anybody what you're going through, when you find yourself in difficult situations like that, when you are all alone, Joseph wants to say to us today to keep three things in mind. Glory ahead. You know that God is working it out because you are a believer. You are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that God is working it out because you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know that God is working it out because the word has already declared he'll keep you from falling. So Joseph says, keep these three things in mind. The first thing Joseph wants to say to us from the story is that God has a plan and purpose for your life. All right. God is working it out. I believe in God. I have a faith. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your creative being. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, God is ordering your steps toward your destiny. As a believer in God, God is going to bring you to an expected end. Tell us about it, Joseph. Joseph did not ask for obstacles and opposition. He did not ask for the pain and the hurt and the disappointment. Sometimes God permits these painful experiences to come into our lives to bring out of us something that we knew not we had in us. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Sometimes God permits us to go through experiences because he has something on the other side of through that's waiting for us, and we can't get to what God has for us according to his plan for us until we go through to get it. See, we want what we ask of God. We want this and we want that. We want success in life. We want to be happy. We want to achieve. We want fulfillment in life. But sometimes we got to go through, somebody say through, in order to get to it. So sometimes God permits it. Sometimes God wants to know if we can be the same in adversity as we were in prosperity. Can we still give praises to him when we're sick and not doing well, received an unfavorable doctor report, as we did when we were on our feet and things were going well for us? We got to know that God has a plan for our lives. And can I tell you a little cue that lets you know that God has a plan for your life in the midst of what you're going through? What God will do oft times is he will touch the heart of somebody, and he'll send a person or send some persons into your life to help you to stand, who's going to pray for you and push you on your way. Can I get a witness in here? God touched the right person. That right person came in your life that enabled you to keep on going. That's an indication that God has a plan for your life. When we know that God has a plan for our lives, he will give us the power to advance through our adversity. He'll give us dividends in the midst of our difficulties, gain from our pain, profit
from our losses. He'll give us progress in the midst of our problems and traction from our troubles, because he has a plan for our lives.
If we're honest with ourselves, and I would that you be on this Sunday morning, that our character has been developed because of some of the things we have had to go through. In all honesty, we would not be the persons we are were it not for some of the things we had to go through. Our faiths have been made stronger. We've spent more time in prayer. Let me tell you something. Wisdom does not come from reading a book. Wisdom comes, glory, hallelujah, from those painful experiences we encounter over which we have little or no control. That's how we become wise. That's how we become mature. That's how we really grow. You don't learn how to pray in Sunday school. You learn how to pray when life sweeps you off your feet, knocks you down on your knees, bring tears to your eyes, causes you to lift your eyes to the hills from which cometh all help, and cry out, Father, I stretch my hands to thee, no other help I know. All of what Joseph went through, Joseph could have been mad, angry. He could have been, could have blamed everybody for what he was going through. He could have become withdrawn and antisocial. He could have threw a pity party, but Joseph kept the faith. Joseph kept on pushing. Joseph stayed with God. And the reason Joseph could stay with God is because he knew that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. So I want to say to you right now that whatever it is that challenges who you are right now, whatever seems to be impeding the progress that you wanted to make in life, you've got to first of all realize that God has a plan for my life. God has a purpose for my life. I'm not just an accident. I'm a promise. And God has a plan for my life. Now, secondly, when I can accept as truth that God has a plan for my life, then the second thing from Joseph I come to understand is this, that God is working behind the scenes. I'm in God's care. I'm in the hands of God, purposefully. So he's working behind the scenes. Joseph finds himself in a strange country, and he is forced to cope with what I call unwanted new beginnings. Oh, let me see that. Let me see if I can help you understand that. Unwanted new beginnings. Starting all over again. Some of you know something about unwanted new beginnings. Some of you know something about starting all over again. Your health was good, things were going well in your life, and then all of a sudden, there comes an illness. The enemy of sickness attacks your body. You find yourself having to undergo surgery, and then after surgery, weeks of rehabilitation, and after weeks of rehabilitation, you find yourself having to learn how to walk all over again. You've been told that you have a chronic illness after having enjoyed a healthy life. Then all of a sudden, you have a chronic illness, and you've got to learn now how to live with this chronic illness for however long it may take you. You got to start all over. Are y'all praying with me now? Start all over again. Death comes into your family ranks and takes away a precious loved one, a spouse, a parent, a child, the reversal of nature, a sibling, a precious and a dear friend. And here you're feeling lonely and you're empty because you have lost someone who has meant so very much to you. You got to start all over again. If you can't identify with sickness or death, maybe you can identify with having to go through a divorce. Find yourself going through a bitter, bruising, battering divorce. And you don't know who's who. You don't know what's what. You don't know who you can trust. You're going through it, and nobody knows what you're wrestling with in the private pain of your compassionate heart. They don't know the ins and outs of what you're going through. And then all of a sudden, on top of all of that, these godless prognosticators and these hate-filled commentators begin to talk about you. You're not going to make it. And they begin to look down upon you with scorn and disdain, and they begin to criticize you. And they're talking about something which they don't know anything about. Are y'all praying now? And there you are going through what you're going through, and you find yourself coming out of it. Got to start all over again. Joseph says that when you find yourself having to start all over again, as you're going through what you're going through to get to where you're trying to go, just look back over your shoulder. Just take a glimpse over your shoulder. Because they say that you're not going to make it, but somehow you made it. Somehow you made it. And you've come out of what you're going through better than what you were before you went into what you started going through. You're feeling a whole lot better about your life now than you've ever felt before. And when you look back over your life and see how you got from point A to point B, you came to realize you didn't make it because you were so smart. You didn't make it because you could buy your way out of it. You didn't make it because of who you knew or who knows you. You didn't make it because of any intellect on your own. When you look back over your journey, you can see that it was God working behind the scenes. And you can testify like the psalmist did in 124 and 1. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Look back over your life right now. Think about one of those problematic, painful realities in life that seemed to have had you down, but you made it. But you made it. Glory, hallelujah. Can I tell you how you made it? You made it because God was working behind the scenes. You could not see him. You could not feel him. There were times in your life that you didn't even know how to pray. Have you ever been there? You didn't know what to pray. But glory, hallelujah, you came out of where you were and don't really know how you got there because you didn't get there on your own. You came out of what you were going through and you are where you are right now because God was working behind the scenes. Let me tell you something. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are never alone. You never have to deal with whatever by your side. We've got to trust and believe in the promises of God. And the promises of God say to us, God says, I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the world. So you got to know that there's not a day, there's not an hour, there's not a minute, there's not a moment that God is not with you. He's there all. Can I get a witness in here now? Can you look back and say, oh yeah, that was God. Oh yeah, that was God. Oh yeah, that was God. I came out of this because that was God. Didn't you hear the songwriter saying, I've seen the lightning flashing, I've heard the thunder roaring, I felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul, but I heard the voice of Jesus telling me to still fight right on, for he promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Joseph says that God is working it out. And the reason he's working it out is because he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And so when you are wherever you are, he's behind the scenes. You may feel like he has detached and distanced himself from, but he's just behind the scenes. And he's working it out for our good. Show me something else, Pastor Jackson. Now, the third thing I want to say about it is this. When God has a plan for us and he's working behind the scenes, then Joseph says something rather unusual. Joseph says, talk about God. Ooh. Joseph says, talk about God. Now, we have often heard and have been encouraged to talk to God. Talk to God. Tell him about your trials. Talk to God. Tell him about your burdens. And so what happens is this. We will tell God about our problems. Joseph says, tell our problems about our God. We would tell God about our troubles. Joseph says, tell our troubles about our God. We are quick to tell God how big our mountain is. Joseph says, tell our mountain how big. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Tell our mountain how big our God is. Tell whatever you're going through, what an awesome God we serve. Let me show it to you in the scripture. Let me show it to you. Back up two verses, two chapters, and look with me at Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. It says, verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house, don't miss it, of his master, the Egyptian. All right, now, that got me. So I then looked at that in the Message Bible. And the Message Bible puts it like this. And it had come to be. And it had come to be that God was with Joseph. And he ended up living in the house of his master, an Egyptian. As it was so, in other words, after 13 years, all of a sudden now, this same Joseph who had been in the bottom of a pit is now in the Pharaoh's palace. Now that was one thing. That was one thing. But what grabbed me was verse number 3. Genesis chapter 39, verse number 3. Now, I'm all right with what it says. It says that God was with Joseph. But this is the one that really got me. It says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So I went back to the Double Branch Road version. The Message Bible, verse 3. And this is what he says. He says, the master recognized that God was with Joseph. And everything he did was made good. Ooh, let me show it again. I want you to see that. I want that to marinate with you for a while. The master recognized that God was with Joseph and everything turned out for what was good. Now, this is where it is. This is the revelation. So I looked at the revelation of it. All right, so what's happening here is this. Here was a godless Egyptian by the name of Potiphar who knew nothing about God. He did not know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, yet he recognized that God was with Joseph. Are you feeling me here now? He didn't know the creative genius of this universe, whom Moses said was the great I am that I am. But yet, he recognized that God was with Joseph. And so, God showed me the revelation of him. The word God in this instance comes from the Hebrew word Yahweh. The master recognized that Yahweh was with Joseph. Now, the word Yahweh was reserved only for God's chosen people. Egyptians had never heard of Yahweh. But yet the scripture says the master recognized that Yahweh, one whom he had never heard of, was with Joseph. The only way that the master could recognize that Yahweh was with Joseph is that Joseph had to tell his master about God. Let me break it down. I'm going to close in just a minute, okay? Joseph had to tell his master about God. Can I use my sanctified, baptized imagination? All right, when I use my sanctified, baptized imagination, I see the master, a godless Egyptian, calling Joseph into his chambers and saying to Joseph, Joseph, tell me more about who you are. The master had recognized that Joseph was kind, that Joseph had a strong work ethic. Joseph was devoted and Joseph was dedicated. He recognized that Joseph was faithful to whatever he was asked to do. He recognized that Joseph had a godly character and Joseph had some standards about his life. And so he said to Joseph one day, Joseph, tell me more about who you are. And Joseph could not talk about himself without talking about God. So listen to what Joseph said to Potiphar, who recognized that Yahweh was with him. Joseph said, God has kept me. God has brought me through many dangers, toils and snares. God has been with me as I walked through the valley and the shadow of death. And then he must have grabbed hold to the sentiment of David, though David had not written at the time in which Joseph was talking to Potiphar. And Joseph said to Potiphar, the godless Egyptian, that God has been my light and my salvation, and I've had no need to fear. God has been the strength of my life, and so therefore I haven't been afraid of anybody. When my enemies, the wicked and my foes, came upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. When my enemies would camp against me, they all stumbled and fell. When war would rise against me, my heart would not fear. He couldn't talk about himself without talking about God. Yeah, in the time of trouble, God has hid me in his pavilion, in the tabernacle on his wings. God has been right there by my side. He could not talk about his success without talking about God. He could not talk about his achievements without talking about God. He could not talk about his education without talking about God. He could not talk about his financial wealth without talking about God. He could not talk about his accomplishments without talking about God. When you know that God is with you, when you know he's working behind the scenes, when you know that he has a plan and a purpose for your life, tell somebody.